Slavitt. We're coming to you from New York City today, so it's fitting that our special guest on the program is someone who has been hugely influential in the New York art scene, Deborah Borda. Deborah, first of all, thank you so much for taking time to speak with me, and also you spoke earlier with Iris, one of our young musicians. We so appreciate that.
Well, we had a lot of fun, I think.
Yeah.
I was looking forward to it.
You have done so much for young people throughout your career. The Youth Orchestra of Los Angeles, probably the greatest example of something that totally changed the way we think about how orchestras fit into the fabric of a community, at least in this country. It was already happening in Venezuela. But I was wondering if you could speak about what brings you joy when it comes to working with young people, and what trends are you seeing in young musicians now?
You know, many years ago, when people went to Juilliard or Curtis or New England Conservatory, their dream was simply, I want to get into the Boston Symphony, I want to get into the New York Philharmonic, and that was the goal.
Right.
And I think what you see today is a whole new feeling from young musicians that may not be their end goal.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they're much more entrepreneurial.
Yep.
They might want to record, they might want to do chamber music, and they're willing, they think, in a much larger universe, I think, than people did 20 or 30 years ago. That's very inspiring, because part of the reason symphony orchestras have stayed in business is that it's evolutionary. Is there a need to find some kind of intersection between the artistic imperative and the moral imperative and the social imperative? Where do we find that comfortable place, and that we don't abandon our art?
Right.
And that we don't say that the word elite becomes pejorative, because it's not. Elite just means very good you do. You know, it wouldn't be pejorative if you said, that's an elite skater. But when you say elite about so-called classical music, that's somehow seen negatively.
Right.
But I think it's part of this ongoing quest. We should always be figuring
it
out.
Yeah. We've had young musicians come on the show and talk to me about how can I care about wanting to make the world a better place and justify the hours and hours I spend on scales. I think that speaks to what you're describing of that intersection between the artistic and the moral. Is there an example, either in a program or an artist, that you think exemplifies how to bring those two paths together?
Well, I think the example you gave earlier, Youth Orchestra LA, YOLA,
yes,
and El Sistema. If we go back to El Sistema, though, in Venezuela, the program there is very different from the way it's sort of now almost ubiquitous around the world.
Right.
And that is a strength. For a large American urban city like Los Angeles, it had to be very different.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Make a Great Sound in Scotland, that had to be very different.
Right.
But here's the larger thought about it, which is, although you're preparing young people in underserved neighborhoods, one goal could be, we want to see 10 of these kids over the years grow up and become members of the Los Angeles Philharmonic or the New York Philharmonic. But for me, there was always a greater goal.
Mm-hmm.
And that goal was that they would become school teachers or lawyers or EMTs, and they would love music.
Right.
And they would come to concerts because it was in their soul. And Gustavo Dudamel said something that impressed me so much, and it may have been Maestro Abreu who said it, which is, music is a fundamental human right. It's like clean air, clean water.
Yeah.
And we have to give it to people. And if we believe that, we can find ways, whether it's as a violinist or a member of a woodwind quintet or a manager, to search out those pathways.
Absolutely. It was a real pleasure to have you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I think what's exciting about spending time with leaders like Deborah is that they remind you, even if you excel at something, even if you're at the top of your field, the learning just never stops. Now, our next performer is going to be playing some Prokofiev, who was, in his own way, a leader and a groundbreaker. This is 16-year-old Jordan Manassi performing Prokofiev's Sonata No. 2 in D minor for piano. Thank you. 16-year-old pianist Jordan Menassi performed Prokofiev's second piano sonata in D minor. That was the finale. What a thrilling performance. That piece has it all. It's got lyricism. It's got the sort of brutal, aggressive sounds. It's got the sarcastic wit, and you brought it all.
Thank you. Thank you.
So you study here in New York mm-hmm. at a famous arts high school.
Yes.
But your major is not piano.
No, it is not.
Tell me.
So I go to LaGuardia High School and I major in drama.
In drama. Okay. Set the stage for us. Paint the picture.
No pun intended.
Yeah, right. What's it like being a drama student at LaGuardia?
It is really a gratifying experience, especially the community there. It really feels like home, even though it's in the basement. It's really just a special experience to kind of do something outside of piano, mm-hmm. especially because, you know, when I come home after school, I practice. So it's just nice to be in school and like have a break from that.
Right.
Yeah.
After we met and you had rehearsal, you and I read through a scene and I got to witness your acting chops firsthand, which was
Uh-oh.
Pretty cool. You got, you're a triple threat. You're a quadruple threat.
Uh-oh.
Right? Because triple threat is like singing and acting and dancing, but you also have the piano too. Our listeners may find your last name familiar. You come from a great musical family.
So my dad is a professional clarinetist. And so, you know, I've grown up just listening to, you know, piece of wood and, you know, the sounds that that makes, which are totally pleasant all the time. I'm kidding. But no,
rough.
I love hearing him practice. So he's a professional clarinetist. My mom is a cellist, and she doesn't really teach that much anymore or play that much anymore.
Is there a pressure? Do you feel like you have your own freedom there? I mean, how's that going?
Yeah, I mean, I think growing up in a music, I mean, not even my parents, my grandparents and my aunt and uncle and my other aunt and uncle and, you know, their kids. And, you know, it just kind of like this whole like generational thing where like everybody is kind of a musician. And so it's like there's this, I think at times, like this kind of unspoken thing that like it's like such a disappointment if you like decide not to do your instrument or not to pursue your instrument.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think at times it's definitely hard, like being in a household where like that's the case, but it's also really incredible to be part of a household where they understand all of the arts, you know, and they're
right.
very proud of me
right.
and my siblings for whatever we choose to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Like my feeling is you have to let your passion guide you and like really listen to what your heart's telling you, you know?
Yeah.
There is something that you do, which I also did when I was your age, when you're walking or like riding the subway, you kind of let your imagination go wild and
yeah.
you sometimes just like picture yourself in a movie.
you know, I'm walking down the street, I'm like, I am in a movie, and like everybody can hear my music, and like
that's the soundtrack.
Yeah. I was like, that is what's happening. Like everybody knows like how cool I am. Like I am just like I'm everything. And then I take my headphones on and I'm like, oh, like I am literally nothing.
Right. I'm just a person.
Yeah, I'm just like a person
in this city of millions. But it totally, I love the way you articulate that. You obviously have so much possibility and potential in front of you. I'm just excited
Thank
to see
you.
Where it takes you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Jordan Manassi, 16 years old, from New York, New York. Next up, 18-year-old violinist Dexter Doris is going to bring down the house performing the Nocturne in G major by George Enescu. I'll be joining them on the piano.
Thank you.
18-year-old violinist Dexter Doris from Hartsdale, New York, performed the Nocturne in G major by George Enescu. I'm Peter Dugan. I was at the piano. That piece is stunning. And Dexter, it's obvious that you feel it very deeply. And you play with this old-fashioned, like it almost sounds like Chrysler's in the room when you play. It's this old-time, vintage heart and soul that you play with. It was gorgeous.
Well, thank you. I mean, Fritz Chrysler is one of my favorite inspirations. So for you to say that to me really means the world. Thank you.
In rehearsal, you were describing to me how deeply you feel this music. And I wondered if you'd share that with our listeners.
Absolutely. So when I was in fifth grade, we learned about Frank Sinatra, who is one of the most famous singers on the planet. And one of his quotes that stuck with me forever is to live every single day as if it is your last. So for me, when I play this piece, I always aim to play this piece as if it is the last thing that I am ever going to perform.
Wow. What does that mean to you in terms of the emotions it brings up as you perform?
Well, the world is a very scary place now. I mean, it's changed a lot, even from the short time that I have been on this planet. You know, global warming is impacting our world, and the coronavirus pandemic is still a huge threat to society.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what's in store for me, you know, so every time I play, I try very hard to just give it my all and to be in the moment, because to me, that's what music as a whole allows me to do.
Yeah. When you told me that idea of playing it like it's the last piece, I think what it meant for me was listening so intensely and feeling so, like, not taking anything for granted, not just letting your fingers go. I want to take a moment to congratulate you for being a concertmaster at Juilliard's pre-college orchestra.
Thank you.
It's a really important position of leadership. It's a great honor. Tell me about that experience and being up there in the first chair.
Absolutely. So, you know, being a concertmaster, in my opinion, is one of the most respectable things that I think a violinist can do. You know, I just remember last year practicing so much for it, you know, because it was something that I've always really wanted to do. And the experience was so rewarding because I got to discover a completely different side of myself that I had no idea existed until that moment. It was just a really good feeling to be able to do that.
What's that side of yourself that you tapped into?
Definitely the leadership aspect.
Dexter, I'm so happy that you're part of the From the Top family.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's a dream come true for me. You know, when I was 4 years old and I just started playing the violin before you became the host, actually.
Right.
I used to watch From the Top when it was a TV show. And after it was done, I turned to both of my parents and I said, I'm going to be on that show. And they're like, yeah, right. Okay, sure. Totally. But now,
you called it.
I mean, 16 years later, look where we are now. I mean, there's a reason why the universe wanted me to wait for so long. I feel like I've grown into the musician and performer that I want to be in order to give this my all.
I'm glad that we were able to help inspire you to pursue violin, and you're going to be doing the exact same thing for someone listening right now.
Thank you so much.
18-year-old violinist Dexter Doris from Hartsdale, New York. It's been really great to bring you all a show from New York, which has been my home for the past 15 years. It's a place where there's so much creativity, so much great artistry and leadership, and we've certainly seen that today in our young performers. And that's going to do it for our show, folks. Thank you to all of our exceptional performers. I had so much fun playing with some of them and learning from all of them. And a huge thank you to Deborah Borda for taking the time to talk with us. And to all of you listening at home or in the car or while riding the subway, thanks for spending this time with us. I'm your host, pianist Peter Dugan. Please join me next week, and we'll take it from the top. Thank you to sound engineer Steve Sacco at Sears Sound Recording Studio in New York City. A special thanks to the New York Philharmonic, Adam Crane, Rochelle Rowe, and Susan O'Dell. From the Top is produced by Megan Swan and Jessica Ticton. Sound design and music editing by John Escobar, with editing and mastering by Rodrigo Cuenca. Our production manager is Amanda Roth. From the Top's executive director is Gretchen Nielsen. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. If you'd like to appear on our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts. On the web at arts.gov.
Support for NPR comes from the station and from the Massachusetts Cultural Council, a state agency connecting young people with the arts in schools and in their communities. Learn more at massculturalcouncil.org. From the estate of Joan B. Kroc, whose bequest serves as an enduring investment in the future of public radio and seeks to help NPR be the model for high-quality journalism in the 21st century. And from the Skoll Foundation, dedicated to powering social innovators to transform the world. Learn more at skoll.org.